י"ח מנחם אב תשפ"ה, רב ישי ליסטו שליטה.
Assalamu alaikum everybody. Today I want to talk, I'm aware I'm giving share to people that for one reason or another are still stuck in Manchester, so I thought I'd pick the topic of Hilchos glue. Where is glue relevant in Halacha? I'm sure you'll all be glued in rapt attention. Here we are, Hilchos Debek, here we go. Starting off with something which is L'chayra lo shaykh, no shaykhus, but Amir Hashem, stick with me and we'll get to the end together. There's a sif in Shulchan Aruch, Simon Yud Aleph, we were just learning about Hilchos Tzitzis in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch Shir. Here we go, let's start off at the beginning of Shulchan Aruch with Hilchos Tzitzis. There's Shulchan Aruch writes, the end of your Tzitzis strings, there's a minhag to make at the end of every string a kesher, a knot at the end of every string, in order that the spin of the string should stay together, the shazira of the string, the strings are all spun in a twist. That's ma'akev, that the tzitzis should be spun together. And in order that they should stay spun, there's an idea that one should do a knot at the end of every string, says the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Yud Aleph, in order that it should stay spun. The Mishnah Berurah says, on this point in Sifkot and Yudches, that adarabba, one should not tie the strings at the end. Why? We're going to see why, but unless they're spun very well. That's if they're spun very well. If they're not spun very well, then one should do a knot at the end. What's the problem with doing a knot at the end? So the Mishnah Berurah brings the Mogen Avraham and the Prima Godim. The Mogen Avraham writes, it's in order that you don't add on to the knots on your tzitzis. On the top of your tzitzis, you have five knots. Keneged the Chamishei Chumshei Torah, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Chof Aleph. And if you put knots at the end, you've added another 8 sforim to the Torah, which is definitely not brilliant. In which case, one should refrain from tying knots on the end of his tzitzit. The Prima Godin writes, this isn't Mishum Bal Toysif, but this is only Al Tzminhag, but only the first Kesher, the Kesher Elyon of your tzitzis midoraisa. The rest are Mishum Minhag. And one is Moisif on the Minhag if he adds on extra knots, in which case one should not knot. The end of his tzitzis strings in order to avoid this issue. Now, the Dinan van Hoggis bring from the Chazon Ish, that is mashma, that if they are undoing, then you can tie the knots. Why? Seems to be it's not such a chashash to add on to a minhag. I theorize that maybe it's not adding on to minhag. If it's visible that they're undoing and it's visible that you're doing the knots to stop them undoing, then it's not adding on to the five knots at the beginning of the talit, the beginning of the tzitzis branch. Rather, one is just stopping is visible that one is just stopping the fraying of the tzitzis and keeping them spun. That's if they're undoing already, or they're going to undo visibly very shortly. The Ishtar Avraham Butchach says if one is able to do a trick, in order that the tzitzis shouldn't undo, then one should do that. For example, for maybe putting it under the kettle, which makes the wool contract and stay very tight. The Shevet Halevi brings the idea of gluing. People used to glue the ends of their tzitzis. And he says, maybe it's mutter to stick the end of the tzitzis with see-through glue. There's no problem of bittel shazira. There are those that want to say, since it's span, and you dip it in glue and you cannot unspin it, therefore, maybe it's not considered span anymore. It's as if that piece of string has been cut off, because if they're not shazer, if the string is not shazer, it's as if it's not there. But he says there's no problem of bittel shazira, even though you can't untwist it, because since it's twisted, you've just twisted it and put a lock on top of it, so it's still considered twisted. However, he writes at the end that one should the derech hamachina, the derech haru'uya, that one should do is to tie knots at the end of the tzitzis, not to worry about the Mogen Avraham, because that's what the Shulchan Aruch and Ramah mention. They don't mention putting on glue. But if one wants to do glue, if he wants to worry about the Mogen Avraham, it seems to be from the Shevet Halevi, it's definitely not so terrible. The Seif Halacha Brura brings from various poskim that if one's tzitzis string is the exact length that it needs to be, 12 gudolim, the Shulchan Aruch brings, then one should not glue the ends. Why? Because there is a tzad that one may be mevatel the shazira. Again, shazira is when you is something when you twist the two strings together, and if you can't untwist them, then they're not, maybe they're not considered shaz anymore. In which case, you've cut off, let's say, a centimeter of string, and now your string, according to some poskim, might be not long enough. In which case, it would passel the tzitzis. So. If the tzitzis are long enough, then it seems to be you can do glue. The Sheva Halevi says it's better to do knots. If they're not undoing at all, then one should not do anything, it seems to be. So there you have it. At the end, there's going to be a chazor of all the points, in which case everybody can hopefully walk away with everything. Moving on.
Are the tzitzis possible, or is there a problem if they start unravelling at the bottom?
Yes, it is. If they start unravelling at the bottom and they unravel to the point where the string would potentially be too short, should you cut off the unravelled part?
If it doesn't get too short.
If it doesn't get too short, then it's okay. Only if it gets too short, the length being from the top knot to the end of the string, has to be 12 thumb breadths. Now, moving on from tzitzis, let's talk a little bit about tefillin. We know when people start gluing things, that glue sometimes goes all over the place, sellotape and whatnot, and sellotape or glue might end up landing on your mokum tefillin. Is that an issue of chatzitza to then put tefillin the next morning or after you've been gluing all day long? Are you able to now put on tefillin? Simon Chov Zayin Sif Dalad, it says, Lo yehei dova chutzeitz bein hatefillin lebesor. Nothing, there shouldn't be anything separating between your skin and the tefillin. Doesn't matter where the shal yad, doesn't matter with the shal rosh. The Ramah points out that this is specifically with the batim, and the Mishnah Berurah adds on also the mokum kashira. The rest of the ritzuas is not so terrible. I know some people like to keep their watches on, which we're not going to go into now. I've discussed that in a previous year. But there's an idea that definitely under the batim and in the mokum hakashira, which is the back of your shal, the back of your head, and the place where you tie the shal yad, that should be completely glue-free, sellotape-free. Let's talk about that. There's an idea in chatzitza that chatzitza is only chotzeitz if one, at least al-kaponim, definitely midrabanon, if one is either makbid on it or it covers most of the body. Now, the Sharid Shuvah points out that even if it's not covering most of the body, and even if one does not care about its presence, I'm going to be moving around. I'm worried.
Well, sort of clip it.
I can clip it. Sorry. So the Sharid Shiva writes that if there's a chatzitza and wants to fill in, even if he is not makbid on it, for example, it takes up less than half of his body and he does not care about its presence. I don't care about a fleck of glue underneath the shal yad. The Sharid Shiva says if the dovah she'enu makbid and it's on miyat hashetach, that the inyan etilas yodayim, for example, or tefillah b'mikvah, there's no chatzitza. However, for tefillin, it's got a more chomer din. Why does tefillin have a more chomer din than the tefillah yodayim or going into the mikvah, for example, that the tefillin is serves as a shayin shuvah similar to big day kahuna. Big day kahuna, it has to be on the kohen's flesh. It has to be al basorei mamish. Now, even if halachically this glue, this speck of glue or sellotape, whatever it is, does not constitute a chatzitza inyan halacha, however, the tefillin is still not on your basar. So the Shai Shiva says that even though throughout Kol HaTorah Kula, it would not necessarily be considered a chatzitza. However, the inyan tefillin, there's a more machmedin since tefillin are learned out from Big Day Kahuna, even though it's not a chatzitza, however, it's not considered on your basar, in which case the speck of glue should be flicked off before you put on tefillin. The Shlag was nohig to wash his head. The bear hating brings, and the Shai Shiva also brings, before he put on tefillin, in order to get rid of anything. For example, one should be careful that there shouldn't be anything between his tefillin on it and his basa, for example, lice, dust, water, lots of sweat that Odeh Sevchai brings. One should make sure that his hands and head isn't too sweaty. And one should be makbid also that the ritzuas, even though it's min b'min o'en o'chotzeitz, we have a klal in Shas that something which is made of the same material as something else, let's say the tefillin are made of leather, and you have a leather strap passing underneath, it shouldn't be chotzeitz. However, the Indian tefillin, there are those that are machmir, learning out from the Big Day Kahuna. Now, I want to point out an important thing in regards to ink in the mokum tefillin. What happens if someone's been fell tips with the children? The Yeridei Asimah Kuf Tadiches Sif Yud Zayin, it talks about ink, and it says that le'idnin tefillah, there is no issue of having ink on your body. Why is that? So the Be'er HaGoyna explains, because there's no mamoshes when it comes to ink. When you put a biro pen on your skin, there's nothing really there. It's just chazus ha ba'alma, just a colouring of the skin. There's nothing actually on your skin. The Vilna Gaon in the Be'er HaGoyna brings a raya from the end of the Yerushalmi in Shekolin that they would dip, there would be toivel the peruches of the Beis HaMikdash in the Mishkan after it had already been dyed in the mikveh, in which case we see that dye is not a chatzitza whatsoever. And they say that since it's only chazus ha ba'alma, also legabe tefillin, where we have this more chomer din of al basori mamish, ink might also not be a problem, even according to this Machmir opinion. The Minchas Aaron points out that it's not very respectful to the tefillin to have a whole picture on your arm, even if it is made of ink, and one should, if possible, one should definitely wipe it off. If it's not possible, which is very often when you have pen ink on your hands, it's very hard to get off, then you don't have to worry about the ink at all, according to anyone. However, B'di'eved, the Mishnah Berurah's Mashmah, the Morgan Avraham's Mashmah, in a few places, that tefillin does have the regular dine chatzitza, so if one cannot get this speck of glue off or the sellotape off and one is not makbid about its presence, then one can be makel that tefillin has, like the tiras yodayim and mikveh, the same dinim of chatzitza, in which case one is okay. Again, we mentioned that this is only in regards to the mokum where the batim are and the mokum where the kashira is. However, anywhere else, for example, the seven krichas or def on your hand, there's no problem of chatzitza there. That's from the Ramah and Mishnah Berurah. Now, next topic. I brought a hidden prop, which is not on the table. I have in here, I have a sticky note in my sefer. Are you allowed to keep sticky notes? I've written on this already, because we're about to see why I've written on this already. But are you allowed to keep sticky notes in your sefarim, blank sticky notes? Is there an issue of keeping these gluey, handy sticky notes, which are used to me for writing notes on, are you allowed to keep them in your sefer? What might be the shaila? And so, well, on sif, Simon, Kuf Nan Dalad, Mishnah Berurah, Sif Kata Namadalav, it writes like this: Lo Yishaltet Kuntrasal, Sefer, you should not prepare paper for writing on a Sefer, because the Kuntras has no Kedushah, and it's a Zilzon, cover the Sefer, to prepare paper for writing on it. And he says also, one should not leave empty, blank pieces of paper that don't have yet Divrei Torah on it in a Sefer, and one should not leave things in his Sforim. One should not use his Sefer as a storage place. The Shut Torah Lishma says that even dapim which are omed l'chsivas divrei Torah, papers which you've designated for chsivas sefer Torah, a sticky note might spring to mind that you've left in the back of your Mishnah Berurah to jot down any handy notes. It's osa to leave them, says the Torah Lishma, even if you've designated them for divrei Torah, because b'choshes that maybe the owner of the paper will regret his decision and end up using them for divrei chayil, in which case he would be keeping divrei chol dika things in his kodesh sefer, which is definitely not brilliant. That argues with the Igros Moshe. The Igros Moshe is talking about a sefer becoming a bosses to the paper within it, and he's mashma within this shiva that if you've designated this paper to write Divrei Torah on it, then it's not so terrible to leave it in your sefer. We assume that you'll end up writing Divrei Torah on it, in which case the mafreya won't have be that you've been keeping Divrei Chol in your sefer. The Shut Maharshag says, I saw him quoted, our sforim that aren't kodesh kol kach, since they're not written biyad, they're printed by machine, they're also not written on klaf. He says that nowadays that you shouldn't tell someone off for keeping things in his sefer, but ofen akrayin on a temporary basis. He says a bal nefesh should be machmir, it's good to be machmir. It seems to be that's not so terrible to be leaving, and halacha l'maaseh seems it's not so bad to leave empty pieces of paper in your sefer. I wrote, just to be machmir for myself, I wrote Bereishis Bara Elokim Asa Shamayim on this piece of paper before I stuck it in, before the shir. So there you go.
Now, what's that bookmark?
Right, so bookmark seems to be that it's helping you learn the sefer, in which case it might be actually a davar kodesh. For example, the Mishnah, which we're going to come on to now, Simon Chof Aleph, it writes that tzitzis that come off, like this one that came off a few weeks ago, unfortunately, from my talis katan, it got snapped off as I came coming down the stairs. Tzitzis that come off, one should put them in his sefer as a bookmark, since there is an idea, since it's had one mitzvah done to it, one should use it for another mitzvah, in which case definitely a bookmark seems to be, it seems to be that it is a double mitzvah, in which case to have a bookmark in your sefer is not so terrible. It's not like having random blank pieces of paper which you may be keeping for other uses, or keeping money in your sefer, or whatever else you want to keep in your sefer. Speaking of things to keep in your sefer, we just mentioned keeping this in your sefer as a siman. The Mishnah Berurah writes that one should only keep it in his sefer if he's going to be using it as a siman. The Mora Katsia actually brings that it's also just to take, as I come to shul sometimes, I open the siddur and a whole tannis falls out. And there's people leave their tzitzis in the sefer because the Mishnah Berurah mentions that there's an idea to use it as a bookmark. They stick it at the back in some random place in Tehillim or sefer, so some random place in the back of the siddur. The Moraxia says it's very disrespectful to the siddur. You're using it as a place to dump your tzitzis or tzitzis that you found. One should only put tzitzis in the sefer if he's actually going to be using it as a bookmark. Just to dump tzitzis in the back of the sefer, it might actually be more lechachila to put them in the bin. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Simon Chof Gimel that one can put his tzitzis in the bin. The Ramah says one shouldn't put it in a mokum bizoyin, but to put it in a plastic bag, put it in the bin, that would be much better than dumping it in a sefer, which is seemingly disrespectful to the sefer. Speaking of things in the sefer, what about beard hairs? There are those that are nohig to put their beard hairs because they have some sort of inherent kedusha through Kabbalistical thoughts and inyonim. The Ginzei Kodesh brings Rav Chaim Kanievsky, says that one should not put his beard hairs in his sefer because they're apparently not kodesh enough, that a sefer hakodesh should be used to store them. However, interesting to point out, there's a sefer called Shmiras Haguf Vahanefesh. He writes that they found some of the Baal Shem Tov's Sforim, and within the Baal Shem Tov's Sforim, they found the Baal Shem Tov's beard. Also the Divrei Chaim, they found his beard hairs in there. This is a later volume of the Ginzei Kodesh. And also Rav Shimon Shkop was no here to keep his beard hairs in his sefer. Mishi Yeshlo Minhag B'yadai, then I guess it's okay. However, I just want to point out that even if you do have such a minhag, to leave your beard hairs in public sforim, where it might be memayas acher, it might be disgusting for other people, that is definitely not on. There's also other klolim to bear in mind, like Vahaftan Urecha Kamaycha, one should not be leaving his beard hairs in public sforim. Now, moving on to a bit of a complicated topic, moving into Shabbos now, I want to discuss a common shaila. I have in my hand a nappy over here, and on this nappy there are tabs over here. These tabs are Velcro, half Velcro. The first time you open them, it's actually made of the same sort of material that my sticky notes have on it. But they've got half sticky notes. That's when you first open it, and then afterwards it uses Velcro. Can you open these nappies on Shabbos? Let's talk about that, what you should be doing. And it also would apply to plasters or various toiletries, which I didn't bring in for obvious reasons, but plasters as well. Can you use them on Shabbos or not? What's the correct way forward? Is there an issue at all? So let's start off with Shulchan Aruch and Siman Shin Yud Aleph Sif Yud. There's two types of teifa. The first type of teifa, the Shulchan Aruch writes, is Mutala Hate Daf Shinashimo Solifni Atana. There's a type of plank that would put in front of the olden day ovens to keep the heat in, which was definitely temporary in order that Shabbos day you can open the oven again and take your food out. Is Eino Osoy Lekiyam, says the Shulchan Aruch, is Mutta to open on Shabbos. There's another type of teifa on Shabbos, which is born Simon Shin Mem, Sif Yud Dalet. Hamadavik Nioroso Eros Kolon Shal Sforin, somebody who sticks papers or skins, some sort of sellotape, which I brought over here, with glue, then this is told as tova and you're chayev, even though you're not knitting, because you're sticking something to something else with glue in between, some sort of, for example, like this. When you sew two things together, you have a string going in between. This is the difference between tefira and kashira, not tying knots. This is a very important klal, which I think everybody can gain from. Two things. When I take these two things and I tie them together through themselves, and I'm without a gobo shlishi in between, without a third thing, that's kashira, that's tying two things together. Tefira is when I take two things, I take a third thing, and I use that third thing to tie these two things together. For example, I get two pieces of material, and I use a string to tie these two things together. The Shulchan Aruch says also glue. You take two things, you get a third thing in between, which is the glue, and you stick them together. That is Toldas Tefira, which would be an issue of using sellotape on Shabbos, which might also be an issue of Korea or Mechatech as well, measured cutting, in order to use, it might be many Yisrael Deraisa involved in using sellotape. It's also why we don't use toilet paper. It might also be Mechatech, Makeh B'Patish or Korea on Shabbos. We tear it before Shabbos, but we're back to what we're talking about. We're talking somebody who sticks papers or skin in a permanent way, that might be Taifa and your Chayev. So this begs the question, what status do our nappies have? They're not permanently stuck. It would be very useless. Plasters would be very useless if they were permanently stuck down. What is the deal? Which category do nappies and sticky notes and plasters, where do they fall into? Now the Mishnah Berurah writes in Sif Kotin Mem Hei that specifically when you tie it, again, when you tie it permanently, that's when you stick it down permanently, that's when it is going to be a problem. However, if you have not stuck them down permanently, for example, let's say you tap it down temporarily, or it got stuck by itself. For example, let's say a piece of cholent fell onto a Shabbos Mira's bencher, and now you can't open the bencher. As long as you're not going to rip up any words of Psik Resha, it would be mutter to open up the benchers, and because it wasn't stuck down in a way that it would be permanently stuck, in which case there's no issue of tearing it open. Again, Korea tends to go hand in hand with Tofa in many ways. So we're going to know, can you open up these nappies? Is it an issue of Korea, of ripping it open, of unsticking the glue? So we've seen that there's two types of, again, we've seen that there's two types of tefira, permanent, temporary. Now, what about in the middle? These nappies seem to be in the middle. They're stuck down permanently until I use them. What does that fall into? Which is discussed in Shulchan Aruch, Shin Yud Zayin Sif Gimel. Matirin Beis Hatzavo Mekesha Shekoshu Koyles. Kesha, Kosha, the tying knots and tefira seem to have very similar hagdorim when it comes to whether or not you can tie it, untie it. The Shulchan Aruch brings that somebody who sends his clothes to the washerman, and the washerman used to tie the collar shut so that you can't get your neck through, and you want to untie it in order that you can get your neck through. The Shulchan Aruch writes that you can undo it since it's eino kesher she'eino shel kayoma. If it's not a kesher which was done temporarily until the customer picks it up, therefore it's no problem. Maybe that's similar to our nappies, which is seemingly stuck down until the customer can come pick it up. Now, maybe there's what to ask, because the Mishnah Berurah writes specifically when there's a Yesh Omrim which says it's specifically when the washerman does it to be untied on that very day. So the washerman ties up the shirt, gives it back to the customer, the customer says, thank you very much, here's your money, takes the shirt and opens it up and has a nice day. Now, these nappies they're produced in a factory and then shipped to a shop. How long do you think that takes for the customer to open it up? The earliest I've ever seen a product on the shop from when it was produced is 3 weeks. I've kept an eye out. So the factory workers, the chayor, are sticking down these nappy tabs in a way that they'll be stuck down for a very, very long time, which might very well be an issue of Korea Doraisa to open them up. Now, the Yesh Omrim that it might be okay. Why? Because the workers, they didn't stick it down for it to be stuck. They stuck it down because that's what they're asked to do. They don't necessarily care how long it's going to be stuck down for. Additionally, they don't stick down the tabs for them to be stuck. They stick down the tabs so that they don't get, for convenience during packaging, or so they don't get unhygienic or dirty or stuck with other things. They're not necessarily interested in sticking it down. So it comes out that there's a machlokes poskim, basically, if you can open these nappy tabs for the very first time on Shabbos, if you can open plasters for the very first time on Shabbos. The atzas poskim is to open it before Shabbos, and then close it again. What you've done by opening it, you've undone this permanent tefira, the kriya, before Shabbos. Now on Shabbos, you've stuck it back down again. Let's say it is a sticky tab. On Shabbos, you've now opened a temporary sticking, because when you stuck it down on Friday, you know you're going to be using it the very next day on Shabbos, which case, if it's less than 24 hours, everybody holds, that, or most people hold, in various instances, that opening a tefira l'zman is absolutely no problem on Shabbos. So in short, can you open nappies for the first time on Shabbos? The halacha l'maaseh is one should open it from before Shabbos. If one did not open it from before Shabbos, Rabbi Falk writes in Shmir Shabbos Kochasa, Zohar V'Shomer, he writes that b'di'evet, since it might be a shayla of kavod abrius, and it is b'chlal ha'machlekes, one should open it with his teeth, one should open the tab with his teeth like this. And then one has opened it b'shinoi, in which case he is well away, especially as yesh mefakhtekin if it's osa at all. Now we've got sticky notes on Shabbos. Is this a problem on Shabbos to stick and unstick and restick these? So definitely taking it for the first time off the pad, that might definitely be an issue. So since when the customer buys it, it's going to be a few days till he uses the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh one. The first one might very well be a makim patish on the second one, because the second one you couldn't really write properly. Now you've removed the first one, now you can write properly on the second one. That might be an issue of makim patish as well. Might be an issue of Korea taking it off as well, since it's stuck lezman. Now once you've unstuck them, and now you've got them in your safe, since they're usually used, you write on them and you leave them in their place, usually for many days at a time, it might also be an issue, since you're using something which is made to be stuck for a very long time, it might also be an issue. It's not like these sticky tabs, which are made to be done and undone in very short time. These sticky notes seem to be that they're stuck and unstuck very rarely, in which case one should avoid using them on Shabbos. There's another type of sticky note which I have here as well, another hidden prop. Here we go, look at this. This is a directional arrow which I use to point at the place as I'm learning. This type of sticky, I think, might have a different din to the sticky note I just held up, that blue piece of paper. Since this is visibly made to be used and unused very, very often, this might have a very different din to the other sticky notes. There's a chiluk in sticky notes, what I'm saying, Bukitzer. The big square ones that you write on seems to be you can't use on Shabbos, since they're made to be stuck and left. However, these which are made visibly made to be stuck and unstuck are very often on Shabbos, this would be okay, so long as you're not taking it off the pile for the first time, which might be the issue of Makiv Patish within this sticky note, because now it's usable. It was unusable as part of a pile of plastic, now I've turned it into a usable sticky note. So as long as you're not using it for the first time on Shabbos, that would be okay. Another thing to bear in mind is when you stick these sticky notes on the writing, sometimes when you lift it up again, the writing comes off with it, in which case it might be issue of moichik, you're writing, erasing the kasav on Shabbos, and it might very well be a psik ratio. The first time you use them, this blue is quite strong. If you're using it on an old sefer, the ink might come up with it. So what the etzah would be is to stick it up and down 10 times before Shabbos, like this, and then it won't be psik ratio that on Shabbos that the writing will come up. It's a very rare thing, and if it does still come back up, you take it back to the shop and get your money back. So there you go. We're going to give a quick chazara.
So what's with plasters?
Plasters, yeah, I think they're very similar to nappies, because, again...
You don't know before Shabbos can you need a plaster, so it becomes Shabbos.
Right, so...
Nappies you know you need for Shabbos, you prepare before Shabbos.
Right, so we've mentioned before that Mokum Kavod Arias, also Mokum Choli, the same thing would apply. If you're Choli She'im B'Sakol, you could definitely get a Goy to open it for you. If you don't no handy Goy available, for example, in your holiday home, although there should be lots of Goy in there. Let's say you're stuck in Manchester like us, and there's no Goy available, then one could maybe open it with his teeth. There would be no issue. They do B'Shinoi, just like we said, with nappies, there may be room to be Makel, especially as Yesh Omen, that maybe with plasters as well, that there's not such a problem on Shabbos anyway, since the manufacturers, they don't stick it down in order to be stuck, they stick it down in order to protect it, and they also don't necessarily care about how long it's stuck for, they've just got a job to do, in which case, Yesh Omen, it's definitely Yesh Shinoi, I think we can be Makel. Okay, let's do a very quick Hazara before we run out of time. Here we go. There's an idea that the Shulchan Aruch brings that one should tie a knot to the end of every string on his tzitzis in order that the tzitzis that should stay in its shazira and should not unravel. The Mishnah Berurah brings from the Magen Avraham that the Yesh Omen that one should not do this if the tzitzis aren't undoing. The Magen Avraham says because it looks like you're adding on to the knots at the top of the talis. There's 5 knots and now you've added an extra 8. Which is, with the Prima Godin writes, it's not Mishum Bal Tosef, it's because you're adding on to the Minhag to have only 5, and which are connected the Chamishi Chumshe Torah. You've now added 8, you've got 13 Chumshe Torah, that would be very hard for Shnai Mikra Ve'echo Targum. Din Ivan Hoggis writes the same with Chazanish, that if they are unravelling, it's Maduik in the Mishnah Berurah that you can tie them. The Shavron Buchap says if you're able, Bakalas, to do a special trick without tying them, then that's definitely what you should do. The Shayla Halevi brings the idea of gluing the ends of your tzitzis in order to keep them from unravelling. He says there's no problem being mevatel the shazira since you can't undo it. He says since they're shazir, you're just putting like a lock on top of the shazira, in which case they're still considered span, there's no problem. The others that say that since you can't unspin it, it's as if you've cut off that string, it's as if it's not shazir anymore. So if the strings are the exact length that they need to be, one should not, according to these poskim, shorten them by dipping them in glue. Rather, one should tie knots, which is what's muzka in the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, and seems to be what the Sheva Halevi calls the derech hanachena. Similar Chav Zayim, he said there shouldn't be a davar chotzeitz between your tefillin. He said tefillin have a more chomer din of chatzitz than anything else in the Torah, since tefillin are linked to the big day kahuna. Big day kahuna, it's not a voting about having a halachic chatzitza in between the tefillin and your skin. It's about having the tefillin on your bosa mamish. So, for example, one should be careful about small bits of dust, small bits of water, flies, kinim, lots of sweat that Odius of Chai brings, that one should be careful, one should wipe his... The Shlor was no hint to wash his hair before he put on tefillin. There are those that are medayek from the Shlor, that it says that the Shlor used to wash his hair, doesn't say that he dried it afterwards. So it may be that we see that the Shlor held that it's only the regular dinim of Chatzitza, not necessarily the dinim of the Big Day Kohenah. In Yerodea it brings an idea that bits of ink, there's no chatzitza whatsoever, it's just chazusa ba'alma. We only go and bought a raya from the Yerushalmi and Shkolim that says they would dip the pareches after it had been dyed into the mikveh. We see that ink has no issue of chatzitza whatsoever. However, in the Kovod HaMitzvah, one should be careful to keep his area clean and not have a against a picture, a scribble, where he's putting his tefillin. It's not mechuvad it. But the other, you can rely on the shittas, Mishnah Berurah Maduik in a few places, as in the Mogen Avraham, that the chatzitza is like the rest of the din in chatzitza, in which case if you have a small piece of sellotape take the small piece of glue in the mokum hatfilin, the batim or the kesher, where the ritzuas mokum hakesher. If one is not makbid and it's covering less than half his body, I very much hope, then there's no problem of chatzitza. Now, sticky notes. Can one keep it in his sefer? Can one not? We mentioned a few ideas. It seems to be the overriding opinion is that you can. If one wants to be machmir, not to keep them, that's also a good thing. Keeping tzitzis shenifsalu, we mentioned we had a bit of topic. Tzitzis that you use, you want to use as a bookmark, that's okay to use a bookmark. It's okay to keep bookmarks in your sforim. However, to just dump tzitzis in your sforim should be avoided. Unless one has a minhag to keep beard hairs in his sefer, that should also be avoided. Nappies on Shabbos, we mentioned that the best thing to do is to open them from before Shabbos. If one didn't, especially if there's a shayla of covered habrias, if one doesn't use nappies, there's also an issue maybe for plasters as well. Also, there might be an element of sakana involved, or at least an element of chayli, if the finger might get infected. One might be able to open it with a shinoi if one did not open it from before Shabbos. The sticky notes on Shabbos, I wanted to say that there's a chilek between this type of sticky note, which is muchach, that is there, is this type of sticky note that you stick and leave. However, this type of sticky note, I think it's okay, so long as you're not taking the first one off the pile for the very first time, which might be an issue of makabe patish or korea, and it also might be an issue of a psik ratio of mochik. If you place it over the writing, if you haven't unstuck it a few times from before Shabbos, it might erase the writing as you lift it up. Shkaya.
Would you agree that to put tissues under a sidur is a higher disrespectful
tradition? Underneath the sidur.
What? Many people that they're sure they use a tissue and they put it under the cover. But it's not just cup shop, what?
It doesn't seem to be the most respectful thing, but...
I bet you're putting hairs in the thing.
It's better than putting hairs in the sidur,
you know. What? Yeah. So, many times I go to the doctor for a blood test, I'll give a blood test to put a plaster. Because it's better to put the plaster on the hand that I don't put on the film. I prepare plasters before Shabbos, like I've never been up before Shabbos. I just put them on, I put it on the side of the cabinet. I prepare six plasters if I need it.
Six plasters?
You never know, I've got some children hanging from the
house. Why is the hair on the head so rosh? No, it's a
hair. Oh.
It's attached to your body.
Eh?
No, it's a rosh.
Yeah. I've got to answer all the questions people asked me yesterday.
Sure.
Heavy research. No, homework yesterday.
Good.